From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for Let the Bible Speak. In a few minutes, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns commences his next message in this series of studies in the book of Joshua. In chapter 5, we find the children of Israel now encamped inside the land of Canaan, the promised land for which they had so eagerly awaited. Before the conquest began, however, Joshua did something that would have appeared entirely out of place in preparing for war. At the Lord's command, he reinstituted the rite of circumcision there at Gilgal. The generation born during the 40 years wilderness wanderings had not been circumcised. Yet this was a covenant obligation which God had given to Abraham, that which was the identifying mark of the nation of Israel. It represented consecration to the Lord. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns will draw some important parallels between the resumption of circumcision and the necessary preparation every child of God must undertake if he would serve the Lord. As we'll see, by this act, God's people renewed their covenant commitment to Jehovah. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will commence a message entitled, Gilgal, Godliness Before Service. First, please listen to this devotional thought from Morning by Morning by C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Joshua chapter 2 and verse 21. She bound the scarlet line in the window. Rahab depended for her preservation upon the promise of the spies, whom she looked upon as the representatives of the God of Israel. Her faith was simple and firm, but it was very obedient. To tie the scarlet line of the window was a very trivial act in itself, but she dared not run the risk of omitting it. Come, my soul, is there not here a lesson for thee? Hast thou been attentive to all thy Lord's will, even though some of his commands should seem non-essential? Hast thou observed in his own way the two ordinances of believer's baptism and the Lord's Supper? These neglected argue much unloving disobedience in thy heart. Be henceforth in all things blameless, even to the tying of a thread, if that be matter of command. This act of Rahab sets forth a yet more solemn lesson. Have I implicitly trusted in the precious blood of Jesus? Have I tied the scarlet cord, as with a Gordian knot in my window, so that my trust can never be removed? Or can I look out towards the Dead Sea of my sins, or the Jerusalem of my hopes, without seeing the blood, and seeing all things in connection with its blessed power? The passer-by can see a cord of so conspicuous a color if it hangs from the window. It will be well for me if my life makes the efficacy of the atonement conspicuous to all onlookers. What is there to be ashamed of? Let men or devils gaze if they will. The blood is my boast and my song. My soul, there is one who will see that scarlet line, even when, from weakness of faith, thou canst not see it thyself. Jehovah, the Avenger, will see it and pass over thee. Jericho's walls fell flat. Rahab's house was on the wall, and yet it stood unmoved. My nature is built into the wall of humanity, and yet when destruction smites the race, I shall be secure. My soul, tie the scarlet thread in the window afresh, and rest in peace.
Oh,
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. Our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, briefly sets out the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church. That and any other literature we offer on these broadcasts is free for the asking. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the programs, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. In addition to the regular programs, the website contains video clips of Dr. Cairns answering questions regarding various issues, such as, why don't Jews accept Jesus as the Messiah? Does God practice deliberate deception? Or why doesn't God save everybody? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
We're reading in God's Word in the book of Joshua. We have reached chapter 5 of Joshua and verse 2. Joshua chapter 5, verse 2. We're reading through the section to verse 9. There are three tremendously significant things took place between the time that Israel crossed the Jordan, got into Canaan, and the time she actually launched her assault on the city of Jericho. We're going to be looking at the first of those three very significant happenings. Joshua chapter 2 or 5, verse 2 to verse 9. At that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make thee sharp knives, and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives, and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way, after they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land, which the Lord sware unto their fathers that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. And their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to these verses from his own inspired and precious word for his name's sake. Joshua's first action inside the land of Canaan was to reinstitute among the Israelites the rite of circumcision. The practice had fallen into disuse during the 40-year wandering in the wilderness. Possibly, as John Calvin held, as part of God's judgment on the nation because of its sin in not entering the promised land at Kadesh Barnea when he so commanded them. However that may be, the practice was in disuse. Now that they had entered Canaan, Joshua could not allow that situation to continue. If you read any Bible dictionary on the subject of circumcision, they will go to great pains to point out that this was a practice that was carried on in many lands, including the Egyptians, among the Egyptians. What they do not tell you is that their information, certainly as far as Egypt's concerned, relates to a time much later than the institution of this practice among the Israelites. Secondly, they do not, while they may tell it, they do not highlight it, that it is intrinsically a very different practice. That the Israelites' practice was unique. And that's because it was no mere human invention, but it was given, according to Genesis 17, as a divine institution by the Lord directly to Abraham and to his seed. The Lord made it clear that this rite was the seal of his covenant, the mark in their flesh that Abraham and his children were God's people in a very peculiar way. That mark proclaimed their moral, national, and spiritual separation unto God. It was a cutting away of the flesh. The spiritual significance of that, Paul tells us, was a putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh. And Moses tells us that it was a consecration in love unto the Lord. Now that was the significance of the rite as originally given. So it was highly fitting and also tremendously significant that on entering the land of Israel's promised possession, Joshua should reintroduce the rite of circumcision. In doing so, he taught the Israelites many important lessons. And those lessons are as real, as compelling, and as fresh to us today in New Testament Christianity as they were to the Israelites in the days of Joshua. So today I want to isolate one very simple fact from Joshua chapter 5. And I want us to concentrate on this one fact, that Joshua circumcised the children of Israel as soon as they entered the land of Canaan to enable them to live without hindrance in the fellowship and in the service of the Lord. Now that is the fact that this passage of Scripture is setting before us. And it's a fact from which we deduce a truth of fundamental and ageless importance. And it's this. What we learn in one nutshell. Now the nutshell is going to be broken, believe me. And I will not be preaching in the nutshell this morning. Don't think that the service will be over in 5 minutes. Unless the Lord sends some great catastrophe, that will not be. But the nutshell that I want you to grasp and understand the great spiritual truth of this is very simple. Personal godliness is the necessary condition of all Christian living and of all Christian service. Personal godliness is the condition of all Christian living and of all Christian service. There was much to be done in the land of Canaan. The Israelites had just crossed the Jordan. There was the land of their promised possession. There were plans to be made. There were battles to be fought. There were enemies to be defeated. There were dangers to be faced. Things that were urgent had to be done. But before they could launch forth into the arena of public service, they had to get their personal lives right. And their relationship with God had to be reestablished on the firmest and most scriptural of bases. In other words, personal godliness had to be the forerunner and the condition of everything else they were ever going to do in the land. That's the great lesson of the portion we read this morning. I want us to look at this portion and the truth that it presents as it teaches us and proclaims four different things. First of all, when Joshua reinstituted this rite of circumcision, showing them that godliness had to precede all their other service, he proclaimed to them the renewal of their covenant with God. Circumcision, as I've said, was the divinely given sign and seal of the covenant. Genesis 17:11, at the very institution of the rite, the Lord said, "It shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you." the New Testament interpretation of that in one of the most fundamental and far-reaching discussions of the subject in Romans chapter 4, verse 11. Paul says, he, that is Abraham, received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had being yet uncircumcised. A seal and a sign of faith. That was the meaning of circumcision. In fact, Stephen even calls it by the name the covenant. In Acts chapter 7 and verse 8, he says, God gave Abraham the covenant of circumcision. Now, we've got to grasp that if we're going to understand the full meaning of Joshua chapter 5. Circumcision proclaimed Israel to be the covenant people of God. In other words, it proclaimed that God had bound himself to do certain things for them and to be certain things in relation to them. It also proclaimed that they had undertaken what we will see is called the bond of the covenant. They undertook to be faithful to their God, to walk in humble obedience to their God, to glorify their God by personal holiness as they walked in the light of His Word. Now, for many years, Israel had forgotten much of that covenant. Like too many people, they wanted all the benefits of the covenant, but they were not too interested in the obligations of the covenant. And that's why, on entering the land, Joshua recognized if this people was ever to enter into its possession, if the Israelites were ever to defeat their strong enemies, if they were ever to resist the snares of heathen religions set like so many traps all around about them, they must walk constantly in the light of their covenant with God. And that is why he reinstituted the rite of circumcision. We could apply to this the words that I've made passing reference to from Ezekiel 20, verse 37, where the Lord, speaking of Israel in another day, said, I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. That's exactly what the Lord was doing when he, through Joshua, reinstituted circumcision in Joshua chapter 5 at this place called Gilgal. He was counting them again as a shepherd would make his sheep pass under the rod. He was counting them his people. But he was saying, if I count you my people, then understand this, the covenant is to be reinstituted. I will bring you under the bond of the covenant.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.